most effective tools in spreading the gospel is the missionary program of the church. The Lord calls every worthy young man and several young women to full-time labor. Two by two, armed with the Spirit, they go forth into the world and testify of Christ and His gospel. This powerful missionary force, however, wouldn't be complete without considering the Lord's secret weapon in the battle for the souls of mankind. Mission presidents, elders and sisters, and the Lord Himself rely on righteous senior missionaries. During the Saturday afternoon session of the April 1988 General Conference, Elder Russell M. Nelson shared a modern example of the faith and courage of our pioneer forefathers.
A third theme in the Scriptures requisite for significant accomplishment is difficult to summarize in one word, so I shall link two to describe it. Strength and courage. Repeatedly, Scriptures yoke these attributes of character together, especially when difficult challenges are to be conquered. Perhaps this is more easily illustrated than defined. Our pioneer forefathers are good examples. They sang, "Gird up your loins, fresh courage take." They feared no toil and no labor. Among them were Johan Andreas Jensen and his wife Petra, who left their native Norway in 1863. Their family included six-week-old tiny twin daughters. As handcarts were pulled in their rugged journey, one of those little girls died along the way. The child who survived grew up to become my grandmother Nelson. There are pioneers in the church today just as strong and courageous. Recently, I interviewed a married couple 3 days after their release as full-time missionaries in a large metropolis. "We are converts," they said. "We joined the church 10 years ago. Even though we just completed a mission, we want to go again. But this time, we would like to volunteer for a more difficult assignment. We want to teach and serve children of God who live in remote areas of the world." As I countered with the grim realities of their request, they continued their expression of commitment. "Our three children and their spouses will assist with our expenses. Two of those couples have joined the church already, and the third is equally supportive. Please send us among humble people who love the Lord and desire to know that His church has again been restored to the earth." Needless to say, their petition was gratefully heard, and now they've received their call the second time as missionaries.
Elder David B. Haight, during his October 1988 General Conference address, also spoke of the strength of our senior missionaries. He told a story of the effect of two powerful sister missionaries.
While firefighters were battling roaring forest fires in the West recently, two grandmothers, Altha Clark from Texas and Hazel Stills from Florida, kindled countless spiritual flames by creating new interest in people who had investigated the church for years but who needed a firm, loving nudge to accept baptism. And with caring fellowshipping, reached out to the less active members. "They don't take no for an answer," a stake president said, "and they teach without offending anyone. They combine the spirit with hard work." A rancher said, "The two sisters have kept us so busy, I don't have time to get my hay in." We keep them booked with people to teach. In this stake, the full-time missionaries teach very few discussions without a stake missionary or fellowshipper going along. The two grandmothers travel about 100 miles a day on unpaved country roads. The dust and ruts don't slow them down. And while visiting a member's home, these remarkable missionaries ask if she knew of someone they could teach. "Oh, yes," the sister replied, "my husband." And directed by the Spirit as to how to approach this husband, they taught him the gospel and rejoiced with his wife at his baptism. 14 families now have become active and will go to the temple this year because of the efforts of these full-time grandmother missionaries, coordinating with the stake missionaries and properly following a plan in fellowshipping new members. A change has come about in the whole stake that has influenced the less active as well as the non-members.
For many of the Lord's senior missionaries, missionary work may not be the most convenient call. During the October 1986 priesthood session, President Ezra Taft Benson told of the faith and sacrifice that his own father showed by accepting a call to serve.
When I think of how we show faith, I cannot help but think of the example of my own father. I recall vividly how the spirit of missionary work came into my life. I was about 13 years of age when my father received a call to go on a mission. It was during an epidemic in our little community of Whitney, Idaho. Parents were encouraged to go to sacrament meeting, but the children were to remain home to avoid contracting the disease. Father and mother went to sacrament meeting in a one-horse buggy. At the close of the meeting, the storekeeper opened the store just long enough for the farmers to get their mail. Since the post office was in the store, there were no purchases, but in this way, the farmers saved a trip to the post office on Monday. There was no RFD in those days. As Father drove the horse homeward, Mother opened the mail, and to their surprise, there was a letter from Box B in Salt Lake City, a call to go on a mission. No one asked if one were ready, willing, or able. The bishop was supposed to know. And the bishop was Grandfather George T. Benson, my father's father. As father and mother drove into the yard, they were both crying, something we had never seen in our family. We gathered around the buggy. There were seven of us then, and asked them what was the matter. They said, "Everything's fine." "Why are you crying? Come into the living room and we'll explain." We gathered around the old sofa in the living room, and Father told us about his mission call. Then Mother said, "We're proud to know that Father's considered worthy to go on a mission. We're crying a bit because it means 2 years of separation. You know, your father and I have never been separated more than two nights at a time since our marriage. And that's when Father has gone into the canyon to get logs, posts, and firewood." And so Father went on his mission. Though at the time, I did not fully comprehend the depths of my father's commitment. I understand better now that his willingness to accept of the call was evidence of his great faith. Every holder of the priesthood, whether young or old, should strive to develop that same faith.
During the Sunday morning session of the October 1988 General Conference, President Hinckley also spoke of the sacrifice offered by senior missionaries.
"Let me tell you of a recent experience. We were in the city of Bacolod on the island of Negros Occidente in the Republic of the Philippines. There, to my great surprise, I met a man I had not seen in years. The weather was steamy hot, as it always is in Bacolod, the center of the once thriving Filipino sugar industry. My friend was in a short-sleeved white shirt with dark trousers. His shoes shined. His beautiful wife, Marva, was beside him. I said, 'Victor Jex, what are you doing here?' He smiled and replied, 'We're doing the Lord's work. We're helping the people. We're missionaries. Where do you live?' in a little house in Iloilo on the island of Panay. We came over on the ferry for the conference. I thought of when I had last seen them. It was a few years ago. They then lived in a beautiful home in Scarsdale, New York. He was a widely recognized and honored chemist with a doctorate in chemical engineering. He worked for one of the big multinational companies headquartered in New York. He was credited with putting together the chemical ingredients of a product now sold around the world, the name of which is known to millions of people, and the profits from which have run into many millions of dollars for his company. He was well paid and highly respected. He was also the president of the Yorktown Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He had under his direction a corps of church workers who served faithfully in their local wards, many of whom commuted each day to and from New York City, where they held high and responsible positions in some of the great corporations of America. He was their church leader. Now he was retired. He and his wife had sold their beautiful home, had given their children what furniture they wanted, and donated the rest to others. They had disposed of their cars and everything except clothing, their family photographs, and their family history records. They had made themselves available to the Lord and his church to go wherever they might be sent at their own expense. They were now in the Philippines Bacolod Mission, working among the friendly, wonderful brown-skinned people of that area. Unemployment is high in this region, and there is much of misery. But wherever Elder and Sister Jex go, they touch for good the lives of those among whom they serve. They are there to heal the suffering people, to teach the gospel of Christ, to give encouragement and strength and hope and faith. They are there to heal wounds of misunderstanding and contention. They are there to bless the sick and to help those with diseased bodies and frustrated minds. Their smile is infectious. Their laugh a joy to hear. They are living humbly among the poor, down at the level of the people, but standing straight and tall to lift with strong hands. This former New York executive and his charming companion are in the service of the Savior, giving their full time, their resources, and their love to bless with healing the lives of many who are discouraged and need help. Here is a retired New Yorker, a man of great learning and recognized capacity, living in a home with few conveniences, a simple little place that would fit in the living room of his former house. He and his wife are there with others of their kind. They are two of a band of remarkable and dedicated older missionary couples who minister to the wants of people with numerous problems. They receive no financial compensation. They pay their own way. This world's goods mean little to them. As I said, they sold all they had when they left to come to the Philippines. They will stay for as long as they are assigned by the church to do so. Then they want to go on another mission. They are healers among the people, serving in the cause of the Master Healer.
As President Hinckley shared, many senior missionaries give up what they've worked their whole lives for. Elder Haight, during the April 1987 General Conference, also shared a story of the willingness of one righteous couple to serve.
There are many hundreds of experienced, devoted couples whose hair may be graying, and perhaps with a wrinkle here or there, you know, those distinguishing features of maturity that are retiring from their professional careers, but with several productive years still remaining before those golden years, and whose children have made lives of their own and who are in good health, and who dream of that eventful moment when they say to their bishop, "We're ready. Ready to do something really important, to go on a mission, to go anywhere the Lord needs us. Such was the situation of Hollis and Gwen Kersey, who sold their home, bought a little farm, fixed up the house to be warm and comfortable, cleared the land, and planted a garden. "We settled down to be retired," they said. They were Baptists and had no thought of changing religions this late in life. But missionaries and a neighbor family touched their lives, and they were baptized. And then on their 40th wedding anniversary, they were sealed in the Atlanta Temple. They were soon called to stake missionaries, and later to called to serve a full-time mission. As they arrived at the missionary training center, the Kerseys remarked, "We gave away the chickens, the turkeys, the rabbits, and took the pony and two dogs to our son. We emptied the freezers, gave away the cats, boarded up the windows, nailed up the sheds, had everything turned off, went and kissed our 10 grandchildren goodbye, and here we are." What a marvelous attitude.
As senior missionaries make the sacrifice to serve, they serve as powerful examples to the rest of their families. Elder H. Verlin Anderson, during the Saturday afternoon session of the October 1986 General Conference, shared the righteous example of his own parents.
"I should like to discuss for a moment the enormous influence which missionary work has had upon my own life. My parents, who grew up in Old Mexico, had not served missions prior to their marriage. But when a call came to the 70s Quorum, to which my father belonged, for a volunteer to serve a short-term mission, he went, even though it meant leaving a farm and a large family of small children for his wife to care for. She welcomed that opportunity to sacrifice for church and family, and I well remember how heroically she bore her burdens during those difficult winter months. Then, during the long, cruel years of the Great Depression, even though my parents suffered severe financial hardship, they always kept one of their children in the mission field. My father passed away at a relatively young age, and after he was gone and we children were married, my mother asked for and was given permission to serve a mission in Old Mexico. If there is honor attached to this call, and indeed there is, it goes not to me, but to those whose examples of sacrifice and dedication have influenced my life so greatly. I pay tribute to them for their tireless and unceasing devotion to the church and to their family. They have wielded an immense influence upon their 10 children and their other numerous posterity."
Sometimes senior missionaries are the best suited for the job. During his April 1990 General Conference address, Elder M. Russell Ballard spoke of the success of two senior missionaries from Guyana.
"Another example of the importance of small things comes from Elder and Sister Jackson, missionaries in Guyana. Quote, "When we first arrived in the mission field in Guyana, we saw in the local Georgetown newspaper the report of the teenager of the month. In the report, he said his favorite food was macaroni. We took the newspaper clipping, a Book of Mormon, and a box of macaroni, and knocked on their door. We have taught and baptized 7 of the family since our first visit." Close quote. This small thing resulted in a great benefit in establishing the church in Guyana.
Elder David B. Haight, during the Sunday morning session of the April 1987 General Conference, also spoke of the qualifications and success of senior missionaries.
"Couples are often among the most fruitful missionaries because of their maturity, seasoned experience, insight, and compassion that open many doors in an unusual way. An example of this comes from a mission for president, as he describes an unforgettable couple. "I confess," he said, "that when Elder and Sister Leslie arrived, I wondered how well they would do. He was seriously overweight and wore a hearing aid. She was limited with 2 artificial knee implants. But their spirit was sweet and their enthusiasm so strong. Two wonderfully ordinary people full of love. I felt inspired to send them to Jamestown, Tennessee, he said, where we had a tiny struggling branch that had been without missionaries for some years. I knew they couldn't tract, and for the first few weeks, nothing was noted on their weekly reports. Their letters said, "We are getting to know the people." After a few weeks, their letters told of non-members who were attending church with them. At first, two, then four, then seven. They had as many as 24 investigators at church on one occasion. Soon the baptism started to flow. No set of missionaries, the mission president said, young or old, equaled the baptisms they brought about. And the mission president went on to say, I doubt that either of them could give the missionary discussions in the way that closely resembled the suggested form that we have for the regular missionaries. They wove themselves into the fabric of that little community, winning them over with friendship, compassion, and understanding hearts. Today, the Jamestown branch is thriving with a new building and more than 100 members attending. Many contributed their faith and works, but none more significantly or generously than Harry and Francis Leslie.
Senior missionaries have a profound effect on those around them. They successfully teach the gospel, but they also bless the lives of the younger missionaries that they serve with. Righteous senior missionaries can have a profound effect on the work. During his same April 1987 talk, Elder Haight told the story of righteous couple missionaries and a touch of home.
When Lynn and Dorothea Shawcroft arrived in Ecuador, they were in a state of some cultural shock for 2 weeks and were unable to communicate very well. We thought, my, 18 months will be a long time. But then they went on to say, we saw vividly the conditions in which some of the missionaries lived. Our first thoughts were, until we learn more of our own duties, at least we could make life more pleasant for the full-time missionaries. So we shopped for pans and ingredients to make cookies and cinnamon rolls. We bought chocolate bars and cut them up to make chocolate chip cookies. We learned so much from the missionaries. It didn't matter that they learned the language more quickly than we did. But seeing the joy on their faces as they enjoyed the cookies was worth every effort. We represented a bit of home, a bit of something they missed. It sounds like we did nothing but make cookies for the missionaries, but that's not so. We worked with the local leaders in activation, in teaching, with music, and with genealogy, and teaching welfare principles. We had open house each week for the missionaries and their investigators. We worked together. On preparation day, when the missionaries came, we discussed the scriptures. When discouraged, they came and we talked about it, how we loved them. After teaching a young couple to read or seeing the happiness in a family because the father was again attending church, we could walk back to our little apartment with a heart that was singing and with feet that hardly touched the cobblestone street. Seeing a young mother clap her hands with joy as she truly realized that she was reading, or watching a baby and knowing that perhaps this child wouldn't be alive now had we not been serving in that city at that time. These experiences, each and every one, made our mission worthwhile. Was it worth it to struggle with another language? It certainly was. Did we feel that we had to keep up with the younger missionaries? No. We worked in our own way. Were we accepted? Were we ever, they said. Sister Shawcroft recommends that every couple take on their mission a good chocolate chip cookie recipe. Lots of love. A good recipe for cinnamon rolls, a strong testimony of the gospel, the scriptures, and then more love. Each of these couples exemplify the Savior's teaching to give of ourselves, to reach out to people. In doing so, they achieved value to themselves, their families, and to the church for missionary service rendered in the golden years of their lives.
Senior missionaries aren't always husband and wife. During his October 1988 General Conference address, delivered during the Sunday afternoon session, Elder Haight told a story of two devoted sisters who chose to serve.
In stressing the need for mature men and women to be about the work of the Lord, President Benson related the experience of his two widowed sisters. One was a mother of 10 children and the other a mother of 8. And after they had sent their children on missions, they approached their bishops about going on missions themselves. And President Benson relates that he remembers well the day they called him and said, "Guess what? We have received our missionary calls." President Benson said, "What missionary calls?" And they replied, "We both are going to your old field of labor in England." They did go to England and served as companions for 20 months. Thousands of devoted mature couples and single sisters have touched the lives of many for good. We are grateful for their dedication and courage, and oft-times that great personal sacrifice. One couple indicated on their missionary form that they would be ready just as soon as they were able to find a home for their 80 hives of bees.
Learning a language can be a scary thing. It's amazing to see the faith of the righteous senior missionaries who show they are up to the task. During his same October 1988 address, Elder Haight told of the faith of one couple missionary faced with the difficulty of learning Spanish.
Emma Lou and Joseph Slagowski could not speak English, but were called to the Peru Lima South Mission. They participated in a trial pre-mission language project for mature couples that assists them in learning language skills in their own homes prior to entering the missionary training center for their training. Sister Slagowski writes, "When our stake president asked us if we would be willing to take part in a new pre-mission language learning project, we were concerned, but accepted." She said, "I am now 66 years old, and school was never easy for me. But without the pre-mission training center Spanish, in the Spanish program, it would have been impossible. But before we arrived at the mission training center, I could read Spanish quite well, could pray, bear testimony of God the Father and Jesus Christ. To me, it's a miracle. We plan on another Spanish-speaking mission after this one, if health permits. There are few things that invite the blessings of the Lord into our lives and to the lives of our family members more powerfully than does missionary service. The broadening of knowledge of the gospel principles, a deeper spirituality, a strengthening of one's faith in the Lord, a greater understanding of the workings of the Spirit, and the expanding of one's talents as promised by the Savior in the parable of the talents.
Senior missionaries are a source of great strength for the mission field and the church itself. The Lord is definitely pleased with those righteous brothers and sisters who sacrifice their golden years of retirement as well as their financial savings in order to serve. The Lord needs powerful senior missionaries so that the gospel may be proclaimed to all the earth with the polished voice of experienced and lifelong faith.